Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio, bringing you the latest news of the region. I'm Carl Engel, your host. It's the final day of 2025, December 31st, a Wednesday. Happy New Year. A district court judge has suspended a state senator from office while he faces charges of official misconduct. Lewis and Clark District Court Judge Kathy Seeley granted the request from the State Department of Justice to suspend Senator Jason Ellsworth of Hamilton from office. State prosecutors say Ellsworth abused his power when he awarded a no-bid state contract to a longtime friend and colleague. The Montana State News Bureau first reported the contract. It sparked a Senate Ethics Committee investigation, a legislative audit, and an official censure of Ellsworth. Senators voted last April to strip him of committee assignments and ban him from the Senate chambers for life. A motion to suspend him from office failed at the time. Ellsworth is scheduled to make a first appearance in court on January 6th. A livestock animal from a Gallatin County ranch has tested positive for brucellosis. In a release, the Montana Department of Livestock confirmed the infection on December 24th and said it's the second detection in 2025. The animal's herd has been placed under quarantine and an investigation is ongoing. Brucellosis in livestock and wildlife is a contagious bacterial infection that can cause spontaneous abortion, weak offspring, and infertility, according to the CDC. The agency said the infected animal was pregnant and was removed from the herd before the disease spread. No impacts to the ranch's routine operations are expected. This is the 15th brucellosis-affected herd confirmed in Montana since 2010. While the source of the infection has not yet been determined, the agency said the previous infections came from wild elk. Montana Shakespeare in the Parks is postponing its season announcement from Monday, January 5th to Monday, January 12th. In a graceful nod to the power of a national championship football game, MSIP announced the live stream postponement, quote, "so everyone can cheer on the MSU Bobcats," unquote. FCS football will crown a new national champion when Montana State and Illinois State battle Monday night in the NCAA Division I Football Championship Subdivision. Montana Shakespeare in the Parks productions of Henry V and As You Like It toured over 14 summer weeks and made 65 stops. The tour delivered 78 live performances to 23,000 people across Montana, Idaho, Washington, Wyoming, and North Dakota. This year's fall production and workshops of Shakespeare's Richard III traveled a little under 8,000 miles across Montana and Wyoming, bringing the Bard to almost 13,000 middle and high school students. For more information about Montana Shakespeare in the Parks and Shakespeare in the Schools, you can go to their website at shakespeareintheparks.org. As people in northwestern Montana recover from severe flooding earlier this month, they can find the help they need all in one place. Laura Hatch has more.
As people in northwestern Montana recover from severe flooding earlier this month, they can find the help they need all in one place. The Winter Storm Resource Center continues today in Libby. Anna Lau with the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation says the event offers important information.
It's connecting citizens with local nonprofits, state resources, and other entities to assist them with their resource needs.
Lau says there are also volunteer signups to provide services and make donations. Heavy rains on December 11th and 12th caused flooding that took out bridges and damaged roads and buildings in and around Libby. The town is still under a boil water order after a dam failed and disrupted the local water supply. The Winter Storm Resource Center is open Tuesday from noon to 8 p.m. at Libby's Memorial Center. Lau says a second purpose of the event is to gather storm damage reports.
We are collecting information from private citizens and business owners about the damage that they have experienced in their property. This will help our disaster emergency services solicit for more funding, potentially.
Lau says local crews have been out this week doing preliminary damage assessments.
They were going to different bridges and infrastructure to get a better idea of what they are looking at and what type of resources and needs that they will need.
She says FEMA teams will visit the area on Wednesday to do more assessments. Initial estimates indicate flood repairs could cost tens of millions of dollars. I'm Laura Hatch, Big Sky Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Few insects remain active in the freezing temperatures of the northern hemisphere, but one fly continues its daily life in Montana's backcountry. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more about the cold-adapted bug and one of the researchers investigating it.
The Pew Charitable Trust recently awarded funding to scientists trying to crack the code behind the temperature adaptation of the snowfly. University of Washington School of Medicine professor John Tuthill says the body heat and activity of most insects drops in response to colder temperatures, while the flightless, long-legged snowfly thrives.
The fundamental question is, how is it that their body, especially their nervous system and their muscles, are adapted by evolution to allow them to sustain movement, whereas no other insects are able to do this, or very few.
He says snowflies run across the snow on sunny days in higher elevations near the tree line, then burrow down when the surface gets too chilly. Their internal body temperatures can drop to around 15 degrees Fahrenheit. Fruit flies, in comparison, stop moving when their body temperatures reach 41 degrees. Tuthill and his research partner say this cold resilience could be because of the unique structure of the snowfly's cell membranes.
You can imagine, as you cool down the liquid, it starts to get thicker and more viscous. You can compensate for that by essentially packing the membranes with more fats to make it more jiggly and allow these channels to operate.
He's tapping citizen scientists to help collect samples from within the snowfly's range. According to the Snowfly Project website, they've so far received specimens from Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, New Mexico, Maine, Vermont, and Canada. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Some members of South Dakota's tribal nations are warming to visitors. The South Dakota Native Tourism Alliance, or SDNTA, works with tribal leaders and organizations to encourage tourism on the state's 9 reservations. Tourism and visitors haven't always been positive concepts in these communities, but they are seen as critical to economic development. Some of the state's native lands are among the poorest regions in the country. Several significant historical sites exist on those tribal lands, including the Wounded Knee Memorial on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, land which President Donald Trump recently signed legislation protecting. Nationwide, tourism on reservations has quietly grown. The Navajo Diné Nation's tribal lands are home to iconic natural landmarks like Monument Valley and Antelope Canyon. That's The Worm for this New Year's Eve, 2025. I'm Carl Lengel. We'll catch up with you next week.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.